All right. I'm just going to say it. I like David. I know a lot of you have differing feelings about that, but he's great. And actually, when I brought my wife, she just commented about the spirit in which you do that. A finance person that isn't all up in your face, that just helps you understand. You said something. Here's what I would challenge you. You said, there's a lot of great things happening. Tell us. I'm going to do it for you. How's that? Because I had this amazing moment just a month ago here at Covenant Grove, and somebody, one of our friends at Covenant Grove, came and found me and said, I need you to pray. Will you please pray for me about this? I'm retiring. I'm done with work. But I don't think I'm going to, like, it's going to be so hard for me. And so we prayed. And when she told me about the Social Security number, I thought, yeah, it's going to be hard. 2 weeks later, she said, I worked for this company, and they started hitting me up saying, we owe you money, we owe you money, we owe you money. I go, they don't owe me money. $110,000. 2 weeks later. Listen, that's not why you give. You don't give, hey, man, God got a big check for me? The reason why you give is because there are very few things in this life that are eternal. And people are. And for whatever reason, in this weird season, when you have this guy who lives in Phoenix speaking on Sundays, what's going to happen? We have no idea. In this room, he's working. And you get to join him in that. So figure it out, right? For us, like, the hardest check we ever wrote was the first time we ever decided, okay, we're going 10%. And I want to tell you that the first time I wrote it, I was just had this great feeling of peace. And I had everything but. I didn't want to write it. But it was a faith step for me to say, God, I'm going to trust you with what I got. So that's what we're doing. Thank you. Thank you. Honestly. Isn't he great? He's great. So. All right. Today, we are continuing this series, Scandalous Christmas, because I love baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is great. You know, he's gentle, and I don't really have to do much with baby Jesus, right? But, you know, Jesus became a man, and Jesus showed all kinds of different sides of him. And if you looked and paid attention to Jesus, if you were one of the 12 and you walked with Jesus, there would be times when it would be awkward. There would be times when you'd feel uncomfortable. There would be things that you'd go, really? How are you, God, doing these? Because I feel so strange being in the same room as you. Today we're going to talk about angry Jesus. All right. Thank you for hooting. The various hooting. It comes from the guy with the Def Leppard shirt. So, which I can't tell you how much I love that you wore that shirt today. It's so great. Because we were actually at the same Def Leppard concert, which you might want to find a different church because your pastor went there. There were times when Jesus got angry. And this is an emotion that you and I feel, right? You probably don't have to go back too far in your own thinking to think of the last time that you truly got angry. And it's not even necessarily big things. It's silly things. As I was writing this message, I reached out to a friend of mine. His name's Jeff Giroux. He was a 15-year-old high school student when I was a 25-year-old youth pastor. And he has become one of my best friends in the world. He has also happened to be a humor columnist for a good portion of his life. He's a very funny human. So I said, what are silly things that you get angry about? At first, let me show you. Here's Jeff. Him and his sons. Let me read that for you if you can't read it. Jeff Giroux, he wrote this on Father's Day. To all the men out there holding it down, these are my two very adult sons taking a break from running their highly successful plumbing business. So I said, Jeff, what makes you angry? I think I got 50 text messages from him. These are the things that make him angry, okay? People who get in an elevator before you can get out. Whistlers. People who read all the words on an ATM screen like it's the first time they've seen a computer. Come on, Jeff, a little patience, my man. People with coupons in front of you. People who apparently do not know what a metal detector detects. Any ref, any game. Anybody with an honor student bumper sticker. Anyone over 60 on a cell phone. Come on, man. People who take their shoes off on planes. Okay, it didn't end here. I got a whole nother one. Let me keep going. When the Jiffy Lube guy says your car needs 6 more things besides the oil change. People with exact change. Anyone who reheats fish in the office microwave. Anyone who has ever tried to start a wave. When your kid starts a story and 5 minutes later forgets the point. When the waitress asks, how's the food, as you're taking the first bite. Been there? 100%. So I ended it like this. You're such a good writer. How do you come up with all this stuff? And he texts me, I am very angry about a lot of things. I love that line. Question for you. Are you angry about a lot of things? Well, you got company. As I read the scripture, Jesus was angry about a lot of things. Let me give you some direct Jesus quotes. None of these made up. He one time looked these people in the eyes and he called them, you blind fools. You hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom in people's faces. You strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. You're full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. You snakes. You brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell? You are like unmarked graves. And when you find a convert, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Now, it's hard to read those without a tone. And when you open up your Bible and you're reading it, it's just like blah, 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 blah. But you don't feel the anger of Jesus. I don't feel like I'm getting through to you. Do I have your attention? Jesus was the kind of guy that would go to church and throw over a table of the money changers. He was the kind of human that if you were at the party with him, even if he was your friend, if he thought you were off, he'd call you on it. He wasn't afraid to use insults if he needed to. He had anger. Now, this is something that we can all connect with. We all have anger. But our anger, is our anger about real issues? Here's the difference. His anger was about things that mattered, real things. I mean, we get angry at our phone that is a giant computer that 99% of the time the GPS is accurate. But that one time, Siri! We get mad at parking attendants. We get mad at slow Wi-Fi. We get angry that wicked is a two-parter. How often is our anger about something that really matters? You know, Christians have a reputation for anger. But our reputation has been garnered in such stupid ways. Years back, Christians were angry with the Starbucks cup, because the Starbucks cup didn't have any Christmas images or Christian images. It's Starbucks. Christians are angry that Disney is following the patterns of this world. But what do you expect? Blogger Veronica Partridge wrote a piece informing the world that she was making a decision to no longer wear yoga pants. And it made Christians angry on both sides, so much so that she was featured on Good Morning America. Meanwhile, somewhere in the world, as of November 2024, over 45,000 people have been reported killed in the Israel-Hamas war. There are over 379,000 children in foster care. Malnutrition is identified as the root cause of death among 3.1 million children, and 100 million Christians around the globe are under persecution. And we're angrily debating whether or not Kanye is really a Christian. Listen. Generally, when you get a message on anger, this is what it sounds like. What are your anger issues? Let's deal with your anger issues. Look, I don't think the problem is, as Christians, that we have anger issues. I think the problem is we have anger with the wrong issues. So today we're going to look in Luke chapter 11 at what Jesus said. And this chapter, his anger shows up in a very real way over and over and over again. And we're going to look at four things that made Jesus angry. It started in verse 37. I'm humming a little bit. Is there something I can do? Are we good? You fix me? Verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. Yay! So he went in and reclined at the table, but the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not wash before the meal. Okay, anybody notice what just happened? He didn't wash, Jesus. He has the Son of God in his living room, and he's concerned that Jesus didn't bring hand sanitizer. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisee, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness, you foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also?" Jesus was an awkward dinner guest. And this is what made him angry. People are more concerned with looking good than doing good. Now, let's break this down for a little bit. How concerned are we with looking good? How many times do we have anger over what people think about us on the outside? I made a list. Here's some things that can make us angry. My shirt is stained. My pants need to be washed. My hair needs to be cut. I'm sick of trimming my ear hair. I'm out of mascara. This dress makes me look fat. I don't like these wrinkles. I hate my gray hair. My clothes are out of style. I burn my neck with my curling iron. Has it happened? Come on, ladies, honestly. Come on. All right. My pants need to be taken out. It's not just what we wear on our body or how we look. It's other things. My car is out of date. My house isn't good enough. My landscaping's not good enough. My appliances are too old. Anything that can affect how people view me can make me angry. And maybe not angry. Maybe it's not angry. Maybe that's overstated. Maybe it's just overly concerned. Are we or are we not overly concerned with how we look on the outside? And what Jesus is saying is this: not, "I need you to be perfect on the inside." He's not saying that, because he knows we cannot be. I want your inside to match your outside. I don't want you to have all this stuff on the inside, because I can see it. I know what you got going on. I know what you're looking at on YouTube, and I can see what's on your Netflix account. I know how you spend your money. I know. Don't come off like you got it all together. Don't you be pretending like everything is good with you. Because I know it's not. That is what's called hypocrisy. Look, I think we need to be angry. We need to be angry at the habit. We need to be angry at the part of us that keeps going down the wrong path. We need to have that kind of furor in our life. But not at who's wearing yoga pants. Not at what Starbucks does with their cups. Or that Disney movies aren't coming out the way we would write them. But about the things that are inside of us. And you know why he wants us to be angry at those things? Not so that we stay angry, but so that we can weed out the things that are hurting us and people around us. Let me give you another thing Jesus was angry about. So we get through all this hypocrisy stuff. So what's the answer to hypocrisy? Wait till you hear this. Luke 11:41, but now as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor. Everything will be clean for you. Here's another thing that made Jesus angry. Abuse and neglect of the poor. Hunger was a huge issue. Hunger caused anger in those days. Hunger causes anger for us too. Here I have this. Here we go. I'm sorry for what I said when I was hangry. You know what hangry is, right? Hunger, anger, put together. Like I have daughters, and every once in a while, you know, I have this one daughter that's all upset, mad, and kind of storming around the house, and I'll look at her and say, what have you had to eat today? I had a cup of coffee. It's one. Eat something. Have a Snickers, right? Something. Look, our anger comes from being hangry. But there is a world out there that just doesn't have food and doesn't make us angry. Hypocrisy, huge issue. I can't think of anything that Jesus spoke out against more with Christian people than hypocrisy. And he says the answer is, are you caring for poor people? Does the plight of the poor make us angry? Are we more concerned with being hangry? Verse 42, you're going to find another one. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all the other kinds of garden herbs. Like they literally would tithe their herbs. You know, their everything bagel seasoning, they would give a tenth, which is great, by the way. Costco has a big thing of it. You should get it. It's really good. You do all these little things, but you neglect justice. And the love of God, you should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it. You know what made Jesus angry? Injustice for those who cannot fight for themselves. And this isn't a one-time deal that Jesus says this. The Bible says it over and over. Exodus 23:6. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Psalm 11:7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. Matthew 12. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. God is talking to his son in this moment. I put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nation. Jesus came to proclaim justice, to fight for those who can't fight for themselves, for people who are judged unfairly because of their race. And yeah, it's real. He came to fight for people that had less. Justice for children that aren't being treated well. Justice for poor people. Justice for people who can't fight for themselves. That needs to be part of who we are. The Bible consistently tells us to, if you can't figure anything out, because this is hard. When we talk about justice, you go, well, I don't, there's this part of racism and that part of racism, and I don't know if I believe it. Look, you want to make it easy? He always says, you want exact justice? Do it for two groups of people, widows, orphans. Focus on them. And there are widows in our church. Let's make sure we are loving them and caring for them. So let me, can I brag on my wife for a little bit? She's so great. She spoke yesterday at an event. She works for an organization. She just got given the title executive director for an organization called White Rainbow that works with widows in India. And in India, if you die, it is considered bad karma. You're considered bad karma. So there are many homes, not all of them, many, that will kick the woman out. Now, if the wife dies, it's not considered bad karma on the husband, but it is considered bad karma if the husband dies. So they kick the, there are cities that are called cities of widows, where they're expected to wear white, because white is the color of funeral clothing in India. And you get to, here's your job. You get to chant all day in the temples for two meager meals in hopes that in the next life, you will develop better karma. My wife is planning her third trip to India in February to help Asha and James make a difference in the world. In fact, you guys have done it. She's been here and you guys bought some of her stuff from White Rainbow. This is what we're supposed to be about. Okay, one more issue that makes Jesus angry. One of the experts in the law answered him. He said this, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." If you wonder if Jesus had a tone, there's your answer. Jesus replied, "And you, experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." And here's another issue that made Jesus angry, making it difficult for people to follow God by focusing on rules and not relationships. So I was, for many years, the San Diego wedding guy. I have done performed over 700 weddings. This is how I got my kids through college. And there are two questions that I will always get the answer to. One, first was, how'd you meet? And I heard some great stories. There was a couple that met trying out for American Idol. And beforehand, they met and said, okay, if we make it, we're going to celebrate with pizza and beer. And if we don't make it, we're going to console each other with pizza and beer. It turned out that they had a consolation meal, but I stood up in front of a group of people and married them. That's how they found each other. There was another couple that met. Anybody single here? Try this. They met on the 15 freeway in separate cars. And he was able to procure her phone number down. That guy's got moves, man. It's crazy, right? I always hear that story. And the other story I would always hear is why we don't go to church. And maybe it's because they knew I was a pastor. Maybe it's because a lot of times the meeting took place in the church that I was working at. Maybe it was because during the conversation I would take an offering. That's a joke. How'd you not get that? A little slow. It's morning. Coffee, people. And here's the stories I would hear. Church made it all about the rules. Church made it all about what I could wear and what my hair looked like and what I could smoke and what I could watch. And they took this great relationship with a God that wants you to thrive in your life and made it about a to-do list. These are the things that made Jesus angry. He got angry when people were more concerned with the outside than the inside. He hated injustice. Couldn't stand hypocrisy. He got upset when spiritual people forgot what God was all about. Now, I'm not saying that you're not good at this, because most people are. Most people are very good at being angry at injustice. But it's not other people's injustice, it's only your own. When you're treated unjustly, when you're treated unfairly, and what God calls us to do is to fight for the people around us and feel their injustice and fight for them. Now, there's a verse that every time anybody speaks on anger in a church, they'll use these verses, and they're great verses. Ephesians 4:26, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let your sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." Now, generally, how we use this is, if you get in a fight with your wife, you know, she cooks and she burns it. And you say, well, that was pretty good for a burnt offering. And then she's mad. And so then you finally have to come later and say, I'm sorry that you burnt the tuna casserole and I said something about it. And you're supposed to work it out before the sun goes down, right? And this is really good wisdom for you and your spouse and your kids and anybody that you are. Because what will happen is if you don't deal with it, it'll just ruminate. You just sit here, right? It's good. I think it's, let me give you another reason, another way we can read this. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Is there something that makes you angry in this world? Are you angry about the way children are treated in this world? Does hunger make you angry? Does sex trafficking, does it just rankle you? Don't let the sun go down before you start doing something. You don't have to start a foundation. There are all kinds of places that deal with hungry people and deal with trafficking and help students. You just have to join them. Let me tell you, one of the places you could join is here. Because, like, this place isn't the problem. Sometimes it's a problem. This is a place that generally isn't the problem. This is the place that helps. And we need people to work with students and work with kids. And you could join. I bet you could join today. Rachel would accept you. We're going to do background checks on them first. But don't let the sun go down before you start making plans to make a difference in the world about something that makes you angry. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus had anger about the right issues. Let's join him in that. Albert Einstein. Know him? He said this, the world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. So I want to give you a blessing. Sister Serena is the best at this at the end of every service. Verse memorized, something really positive and challenging. It's wonderful. This is a little different blessing. It's by an old Franciscan. This is, I think it's over 1,000 years old. This is my prayer for you. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people so that you may wish for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. Let's be angry. Let's pray. I'm just going to give you a minute, all right? Maybe God did something in your heart, and you just need to deal with it right now. What is that? Lord God, I pray that you would stir in something inside my friends. First thing I want to tell them is you don't have to do everything. There's too many issues. You can't deal with them all. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Find one. Find one person, one cause, one thing that you're going to be a part of. And maybe it's Covenant Grove. And God, I pray that you would stir up inside of us an anger about the things that make you angry. And I will tell you right now, God, we are not good enough to make change, but us with you, anything's possible. So I pray that you would show my friends just exactly what it is that you want them to do. Okay, before I leave you, I gotta say this. If you do not know this God, and maybe you're a little surprised, like, I thought Jesus was just nice. But man, he's angry, and he's angry at things I'm angry about with Christians too. I can follow a God like that. If you want to follow that God, you want to join him in what he's doing in the world, you want to be able to live into your fullest self. Following God is not easy. There's a lot of challenging things. But it's how you can live into your fullest self. If you want that, it begins like this. Just pray this. Say, dear God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I had never done. I give my life to you today. This Christmas season, I'm going to accept the gift of Jesus and his forgiveness in my life. If you prayed that begins a brand new life, we'd love to know about it. There's a little card that says, I said yes, it's in the chair in front of you, or it's in the back. There's a box, you just put it in there. We want to pray for you. This church is, this staff is really great at praying for people. And we want to do that. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Stir within us an anger for what matters. In your name, amen.